Willkommen an der Übung Informo. Willkommen im Jahr 2005. Seit unserer letzten...
the other course you're
now it's on yeah.
presenting.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're on the microphone. Sorry, my introduction didn't get on record, but I guess you can introduce yourself
yeah.
a bit more.
Yeah. Hello. Welcome to this guest lecture. As she said, my name is Bernhard Hämmerli. I'm teaching at Luzern University. I run my own business in critical infrastructure and information security. And in this framework, I contribute also to European Project 1, which I would like at least to introduce you to some part, is the CIP, Critical Infrastructure Protection Research Network, which is a network of excellence project. Then I was involved in national efforts of information security, IT security, when we built our incident reporting and analysis center, Melanie, in Switzerland. And I can tell you a little bit more about what we did at this time and how we were testing the concept of this incident reporting place. And I think this is quite stimulating to have some real example also from cyber defense. I'm in the advisory board to our minister, cyber defense minister in the cyber defense council. And also there I can give you some feedback what it means training incident response on a different level. Then furthermore, I'm with Swiss Academy of Science, and in this Academy of Science I have the position as the head of cyber activities, cyber security activities, and I will be awarded this year with the Excellence Award of the Swiss Academy. So, looking forward to this. Anyway, let's go in the contingency planning. As I heard, you had theory already done. We didn't communicate too much, a little bit on slow frequency. This is why I prepared also a little repetition. Now, let's see where the power on helps. Yes, it helps. So, contingency planning, I'm aware that you were already discussing about contingency planning, the ability of an organization to react on negative incidents and do proper planning and finding back to normal operation. You learned that 40% of the business which don't have a disaster plan go out of business. I know from a study that the Twin Tower incident in 2001, that no enterprise which had which did not have contingency planning was still in business afterwards. So it was really 100% condition. And you learned about corporate level maintaining the economic benefit of the company level crisis management or contingency planning. This is one view, and it is an important view, because this here is the survival of the company to lose as low amount of money during crisis as possible. But there are other aspects. There are aspects of national economics or societal risk, that when you have a banking system and the three major banks of a country go out of business or are not available their services, the country cannot work. So this is a critical infrastructure, because it hurts a lot of people and gives a lot of societal impact and has also long-lasting economical consequences. This is a different case, but when you do contingency planning, this is also part of the game. Then multi-crisis management, for instance, if you have fires and if you have three or four simultaneous fires, or when you have terrorist attacks and you have three or four simultaneous terrorist act, then it's a question how to allocate the means you have and how to go there ahead. This is also a special case. And then multi-sector crisis management, if one sector is down, for instance, because of weather conditions or something like that, flooding, the electricity has to be switched off, then soon the telecommunication doesn't run, and it's a local crisis in the area where you have no power, probably even spreading out if central hubs are there. And international crisis management and cross-border crisis management is again another discipline, because the exchange of data and the exchange of reaction between two countries is not that easy. And at the moment, each country is, because of security concerns, very not very open to share data with the other countries. And this is also a special case. Then I know that you had already these few slides, and therefore I'm very brief on these slides. Fundamentals of contingency planning. You know that the business impact analysis, what is the business impact, is very important as a first step. And business impact is only the impact on business, but there is also economical impact, societal impact, and so on. When we compare with these statements here of national economic, of multi-crisis management, this goes beyond the business processes in the companies, as you learned in the book. Then the incident response plan is to have an immediate response, to create containment, to localize an incident instead of letting spread it out. Is this an important step? I can tell you that probably 10 years ago in Switzerland, we had a scarcity of power, electrical power, in our train system. So there was not sufficient, on one line, not sufficient power. What the managers tried to do to maintain this lane, so that they could run still the train on this line. However, what happened is that like two-thirds of the country was at the end put out of energy because it collapsed. If they would have separated this single line and create a containment, it was just this line which would be out for a few hours. So the strategy, how you react in the incident response, is very important. Then disaster recovery plan is rebuilding the original situation, and business continuity plan is running the business in at different places, at new locations, as long as the disaster is still effective. And here you know about this one here, you know the hierarchy: contingency planning, business impact analysis, incident response, disaster recovery planning, and business continuity planning. I will focus on some real cases. This is the overall plan, and I know that you have studied this in detail. The incident response is a set of planning preparation efforts detecting reaction to and recovering from an incident. And the actions taken by senior manager to develop the and implement the incident response policy plan and computer security incident response team. And the IR plan is a documented product of incident response planning. And you know, probably from lecture, that this document is very worthwhile, but if it's not trained, tested, and verified, that people are aware, it's very unlikely that it works. These are the steps towards contingency planning. My focus will be on point 6, testing, training, and exercises. The systematics you already learned, and the point 1 to 5, and ensure the plan is something which has to be rethought time by time. But testing, training, and exercises is the premium method to ensure that the plan is maintained, and there are always some points. Then contingency policy. I want to highlight just one point in this scenario: identification of key individuals responsible for contingency planning. There are not too many experts in this area, neither in cyber nor in general crisis management. And when we see who is involved, champion, project manager, team leader, business management, IT, technology, and IT security management, and the three teams, incident response, disaster recovery, and business continuity. But how does this work? Contingency planning in reality. Some cases. One of our providers for telecommunication had a major crisis. First time of this dimension. And then they asked themselves where to meet. There was no installed emergency room with all equipment, and they had to start first in just meeting rooms, and you lose time with this. So a fully equipped emergency room with connection outside and so on, prepared and dedicated to these purposes, really very important that when a crisis comes that you can react. Then another story, a country similar size as Switzerland and Norway in Europe made a national crisis crisis exercise and wanted to meet in the crisis in the emergency room, a bunker near the capital. What happened is that one of the key holders to open the bunker was in vacation and the other in the hospital, and they had about 3 hours delay in this exercise. Just by given by security, completely locked out, until they could find a key person opening this bunker. So there are little things which training can show up. This happens once, and everybody knows in Europe, and then this happens not again. But one is the poor guy which starts with this. Then if you have a long-lasting crisis, such that you can keep on for the duration, so you expect this scenario is going for a week or more, then you have to split up your personnel at the very first second, half-half, 50% manage the crisis, 50% go to sleep, that you can have a 24-hour capability. Now think of the personnel we had to include here. And how many of those have double roles? Like as a business manager, but are also in the incident response team or in one of those teams. Do you have really so many people that you can risk to set 50% of the people asleep? Do you think it's a good idea to start a crisis? What do you think? After 24 hours, they are completely burned out. So you have no other option. If you want to be still able to work and continue working, you need to have at least two shifts. Better would be three shifts. And we have to be aware that each person is only for one dedicated task available. And I think this is really a major challenge. And especially if the concept for disaster recovery, business continuity and incident response is made from three different persons and not in a coordinated way, I would bet that you plan a couple persons double or triple. We had a cyber defense exercise with Swiss military. There was a scenario, a couple injects. Just to be brief, the scenario can be like hacked email from minister, attacked servers, data leakage, and when you have such scenarios, step by step you give inject to the team working at this exercise planning and saying, now we realize differences to normal operation, now we have found out there are intruders and so on. And at this time in 2015 we had 20 people only in this area. All were completely busy. And then in my command I said, please, cyber attacks only from 8 to 17 hours. And into China, please take into account the time differences. So we have to be aware that there are time differences. And of course, it's kind of neat to believe that you have only office hours in cyber attacks. There must be a 24 hours by 7 capability, and this is very important. However, at this moment, we were not ready for this, and an exercise completely showed that everybody was booked out during the day. We had no second shift. Time differences, what do you think? Do other countries consider when they attack time differences? No? No? Depends. When you have economical benefit and attack from East, for instance, London financial market, then they can observe that they completely adjust to the business hours of London, that it looks very authentic. So even they have to work in middle of night, they do it because they want to be successful in their penetrations and not be discovered. And if you try to attack a bank outside business hours or make a weird transaction, this looks a little bit suspicious. So it's kind of a joke, but it's also kind of a reality. You learned in the book Business Impact Analysis and Criticality I already said about criticality that there are different goals beside of the corporate goals. Of course, in the corporate goals, you prioritize the business processes. And when I see a weighted analysis table, what business function is the most critical, and even making a questionnaire, this is an option for an academic approach, but I don't think this works very well in practice. Because there are always interest to play high or to play low on the criticality, and there must be a neutral second opinion on what is the real impact on the company. I mean, it must be something somebody from risk management or so, but just making a questionnaire, this is a little bit too simple. You know that we have a recovery point and the recovery time after the incident. So especially for data, this is very important. And the cost-benefit balance, this looks different when you look this in the corporate context. Then you can imagine that something like this happens, that you have the cost to recover and the cost of not being available or under attack, and somewhere there is the optimum and nobody knows exactly where it is, but something like this might exist per case or per risk. It looks different when you look also at the critical infrastructure aspects, because then it's not only about the business process outages, there are outages which have more impact, probably even regulated, which makes this graph a little bit different. Next part of my presentation, I would like to show you a little bit about the major incident in 2015, why in 2015 I cannot make every year such a collection. But what I can do for you is showing this and approaching the question, how does the cyber attack develop in the near future? Here, physical attack, January 7, they were shooting some of the producers of Charlie Hebdo magazine in Paris. Then February, the first incident of stolen of $1 billion from 100 banks in 30 countries was published. So, you know, when you read in the newspaper, $1 million has been stolen, $1 billion has been stolen, many people know $1 million is a lot and $1 billion is also a lot and don't really accept the difference. But we are approaching something very painful in this magnitude. And it gets much more serious than it was ever before, because large companies could pay the damage out of the the money you use for stamps in private. That's you know, little money, but now it's going to be. April 5, the DV5 Monde, this is a French corporation, has 11 channels in 200 countries, was hacked and blocked for 24 hours. And what the hacker did, make an Islamic advertisement on this page. So first, big rumor, everybody sees this Islamic page and thinks it was the Islamic State. In-depth analysis showed, like, and published 4 or 5 months later, that most likely the Russians were doing the job. In May 2005, an IT security expert stated that he could penetrate the SCADA system in an airplane. from and took over control during being in the airplane. June 21.5 million files of federal administration in US, including fingerprint, has been stolen, and these have been security vetted people, so this is an incredible loss. July, hacker demonstrated that they could go in a cheap car. In August, the German Bundestag was fighting against Russian malware and decided to completely renew all IT of the Bundestag, which is the parliament of Germany. September, Ashley Madison, which is a partnering portal, was analyzed, and it was shown that from the female profiles, more than 90% were fake. Ransomware, we see a lot of ransomware, CryptoBlocker and DDoS, which is coming up, and also Ukraine in December had an electrical outages. So you see the density is rather high, and it's not a these are not minor incidents, these are major incidents, all major. And when we looked at these statistics, how important this reaction is, you see the GDP, in percent of the GDP, the cyber losses, and you see that Germany reports 1.6% of the GDP, Netherlands 1.5%. And when we go into the history, Germany had in 2011 0.5% of the GDP cyber damage, 2014 1.6%. And when this is continuing in the same way without measures, or without really extra measures in this scenario, when we got to 5%, when we go to more. And the statement of this slide is, we need urgent action, and primary in the detect and response. Protect, we know that there is a limitation. We know that always with the best protection is something around, but detect and response are the major issues we have to care for, that we go down from these figures to a reasonable number. There is also this, all this threat intelligence and these exchange networks to improve the situation. Then the question is, when we look at the development which is going exponentially, would it be stabilizing or even collapsing a system? The general impression was, where are we going? Are we going in worse, worse, worse? Can we stabilize this, or even can technology collapse? And the answer is that all together, there are certain technologies which are exponential, like Internet of Things, smart cities, mobility, bandwidth consumption of devices, social media usage, big data, IPv6. Stabilizing, I don't think we will have much more operational PC, laptops, and notebooks. And collapse, analog telephony, IPv4, ISDN, and potentially also some of the technology could collapse time by time. So, just coming up, I was going for these figures and asking whether they are real within the European Commission. I was discussing with the director of the Europe Network Security Agency, Udo Helmbrecht. I was talking to Luigi Ribuffi, which is the director of the European Organization for Security. And they said, yes, it's real, that those figures I presented you, that they are real and that they really hurt. And ENISA said there are studies with around 90 recommendations how to improve the situation. When you know a little bit about policy processes, when you make 90 recommendations, nobody will ever listen to you, because memory is 3 at most. You go with 1 point or with 3 point to a politician. If you go with 90 points, they say, yes, you are clever, but I don't understand, I don't want to deal with you. This is a different managerial level. And this is really something which is very, very important to know. So when we have a complexity of 90 recommendations and cannot make an umbrella which is ready for decision, nothing will happen. So I think this is something we have really to consider, that the communication of requests to the management is very important, also in incident response types. And you know this one, and had in your study, at the end we look who is profiting. The Sony case in November 2014, 75% of the corporate server were down, was linked to North Korea because they had some stakes in it. But the primary motivation is military or political business, to steal information, financial, to steal money, and then hate and terrorism and so on. These are probably the most important. And we can state that internet is now in the form we have it by today, around 20 years old. And not only internet gets adult, also the criminals get adult and do harm much more than ever before. What we had in war situation, atomic, biological and chemical weapons. New, we have digital weapons, and you know it. I want to come to a new sequence. We introduced in Switzerland the Incident Reporting and Analysis Center, Melanie. And when we were discussing this, Kurt and I, how we could make something real in Switzerland, we knew that the argumentation must be economical. So you cannot say you are more safe afterwards. Nobody is interested. But what we did is saying, look, each major enterprise has some capabilities in Switzerland in the cyber arena. And if an enterprise is hurt, why not to inform the others and let them help and do it together the job? And exchange also the information that if an enterprise is attacked, not the next enterprise suffers the same attack without knowing. And actually this happened, that one of our major bank was attacked in 1 month. 1 month later the competitor, and the competitor suffered just the same crisis as the first bank. Economically very bad situation, and it's completely unnecessary. So we could argue, if only one case every second year like this could be mitigated, it's worthwhile to run this horse. And there are many other advantages, of course, but the justification was relatively easy by saying we use more a moderating approach than a big fat vehicle within the state. And when we were discussing this, we had a principle like this here, that we have the Swiss industry, we have this information sharing and analysis center, M, at this point, it was called Melanie. And this is like the doctor and confessor, everybody reports to him, and there is a closed user group which shares the information, and Mr. M is sanitizing this information and giving some neutral, not related to one single company, feedback to Switzerland. Main thing is that the industry is trusting each other. Question we are confronted with, first question and premium question, when you share between enterprises information, is it valuable to do this, or is it better that you take advantage that the competition gets weak and you are the one which was not hurt and you are strong and make the business? This question was debated for a couple months, and then there was a philosophy coming up and saying, look, for instance, in the financial market, when you have a Swiss bank which is attacked, we know which one it is in Switzerland. But even in the neighbor countries, and for sure in America, it's just there is something wrong with the Swiss financial market. So the suffering is, at the end, not the single bank which was attacked, it's the whole financial place, and we could really show that this is so. So we came up with the philosophy, if you are a competitor in the core business, you can still collaborate in IT security. And up to a long time, this was reality. Nowadays, there are first questions coming up whether security concepts are not a little bit more secret, because the largest asset owners of asset